Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The final hour of the program. That means the start of the Brown Liquor Music Hour. You know how we do it. First off, Chuck gets the first request. A little Gladys Knight. Get things started. A little Love Overboard. This song, by the way, written and produced. You guys ever heard that song by Calloway, I Want to Be Rich? You've heard that song, I Want to Be Rich. Well, that group Calloway, those two brothers that were in that group, they wrote and produced this song for Gladys Knight as well. A little Love Overboard. This is kind of like one of her comeback hits. I want to say this is like mid-late 80s, maybe like 87 or something like that, somewhere around in that range. Can't remember exactly, but I want to say it was somewhere around in that range. So, oh yeah, little Atlanta flair with a little Gladys Knight there. 404-741-0929, that is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Leave us a comment or leave us a message there about anything we've been talking about this evening. As always, we ask you to download the Radio.com app. Why? Well, because that is the easiest, best, most convenient, coolest way to listen to the radio station when you're not in your car. We know that you want to listen to the radio station outside your vehicle. So do it through the Radio.com app. You have a device, right? Like you have a phone, you know, like a smartphone. You got like a tablet or smart speakers or Commodore 64 or Laserdisc or, I don't know, Sega Genesis or Texas Instruments Calculator. I don't know. Whatever you have for a device, just download it onto that. That way you can always catch us on the go. Social media is at 929TheGame. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. As always, follow us on those platforms. And the best way to keep up with us is through our personal Twitter handles. Reach me at JMCH316, at JMCH316. Your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is producing the show in Midtown, spinning the hits the rest of the way. Jarvis in the building at Jarvis D90. Well, since we didn't get a chance to look at our Falcons news of the day earlier, let's go ahead and do a Falcons flyover.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons flyover with John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So a couple of things I want to get into tonight. So Pro Football Focus, they put out for all of the teams in the NFL going into this season sort of a best case, worst case scenario based on the idea of the 10th percentile outcome of their record and the 90th percentile outcome of their record. So it's not 100%, you know, that this is as bad as it could get or as good as it could get, but this gives you a pretty good idea based upon their information and based upon their analytics and things like that about how good it could be for a team or how bad it could be for a team. So for the Atlanta Falcons, their 10th percentile outcome, so the bottom end, they have it 5-11. How they get there? The cornerback position lets the Falcons down once again. A season ago, their cornerbacks combined to allow 9.1 passing yards per target, 30th in the NFL, and there's a good chance they could be worse next season after swapping Desmond Trufant for A.J. Terrell. Isaiah Oliver and Kendall Sheffield will both have plenty to prove next season after turning in PFF grades below 57 a season ago. The offensive line could continue to put Matt Ryan under fire when he drops back to pass as well. They come at just 24th on PFS initial offensive line rankings for the 2020 season. Now, we talked about that last night, about how in ranking offensive lines, the Falcons were looked at as 24th. Now, here's what I'll say, okay? If the Falcons are 5-11, okay, the number one reason is Matt's out for a few games. I think that tells me that there's a definite chance that Matt Ryan misses a few games. Now, maybe that's because of, you know, getting beat up behind his offensive line or whatever. But I think that if you're telling me that the Falcons are a 5-11 type of team, Matt's got to miss some time for all of that. There's got to be some missed time for all of that to be true. They also would have to be, more than bad defensively, a very, very mediocre or average offensive team. Like that would have to be that their offense also really lets them down this season. Which, listen, if Gurley got hurt and he can't perform, or, you know, who knows? Hayden Hurst really isn't all that great or anything. I mean, there's plenty of reasons why things could go sideways for their offensive personnel, you know, out there. Now, in the 90th percentile outcome, they only have them at 10-6. How they get there? It seems that a whole lot of people have forgotten that Ryan is still one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. The Ryan, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley connection clicks all season, and several of the young players along the offensive line progress to the point that gives Ryan adequate protection, to find his wide receivers. Defensively, those young cornerbacks do take steps forward in free agent acquisition. Dante Fowler Jr., career high 73.3 passing rush grade in 2019, continues his upward trajectory as a pass rusher to serve as a nice upgrade over Vic Beasley. So when I read that and I look and say, okay, 10-6, and you're telling me that Matt's great, the offense is great, Dante Fowler has a really good year, shouldn't they be a little bit better than 10-6? If their offense is really that good and Matt has a great season and Dante Fowler has a really good season, That to me says they shouldn't they be better than 10-6? If they're only 10-6, and they get some great performances out of Matt and you know out of Dante Fowler, and you know Hayden Hurst turns out to be a pretty good player and he's a good replacement, Gurley has a nice year, you know, if all of that becomes true, I'd almost say that 10-6 seems like that's it. And I understand people are gonna say, well, they were, you know, 7-9 the last few years. Yeah, but, you know, in the NFL, going from 7-9 to 10 wins, you know, while it's a big deal, but in the NFL, a handful of plays can turn you from 10 wins into 7 wins, too. You don't have to be a great football team to go from 7 to 10 wins. Sometimes it's just executing the plays better that are there. You know, take, for instance, a couple of years ago when the Falcons were 7-9 and they had all the injuries. Well, they sacked Drew Brees when they should have. That's a win. Desmond Trufant just catches the football that was thrown directly at him against Cincinnati. That's a win. So now all of a sudden, literally, you add two more wins by making two plays. That quick and easy, you could add two. Because if Desmond Trufant catches that ball against Cincinnati, they win that game because the game's over at that point. So, you know, you don't have to have a ton of plays decide even a few games in the NFL. Now, I think the Falcons should be about a 10-win team. I think that's about right. I think 10 wins is a pretty fair assessment. I think they could peak maybe at 11 or 12, but I think 10 wins is a pretty fair assessment. But that means they probably still aren't a great team. You know, they probably are still, you know, pretty good defensively, but not great at sacking the quarterback. You know, still, you know, maybe pretty good at sacking the quarterback, but not necessarily great at sacking the quarterback. You know, they still got some fundamental flaws that are out there for it. So that's Pro Football Focus's look at all of it. Now, we did the offense last night. We'll do the defense tonight. Vaughn McClure did his better, worse, or same for the Falcons' defense. We talked about the offense last night. Defensive line, of course, the additions of Dante Fowler, Charles Harris, Marlon Davidson, losing Vic Beasley, Adrian Claiborne, Jack Crawford. He says better. The Pro Bowler Jarrett, run stuffer and pass rush demon, anchors the line. But Jarrett needs help. The Falcons hope they found it in pass rusher Fowler, who had 11.5 sacks with the Rams last season. Look, I do think that their defensive line will be better. I think Davidson is a good guy to have in that mix. Bulk him up a little bit. Let him play beside Grady. I do think Dante Fowler Jr. and his trajectory is an upgrade over what Vic Beasley was last year. And if he gets some help, and he's got some competent players around him, Grady Jarrett can even be better. And let's face it, it would be hard for Tack McKinley to be much less productive than he was a year ago, right? Be tough to imagine that. All right, linebackers, of course, they add Leroy Reynolds, Michael Walker, Edmund Robinson, Jordan Williams. They lose Devondre Campbell. We know the guys that they are bad. They say, Vaughn says, worse, at least initially. Obviously, losing a guy like Campbell really hurts this group. And I agree with him. Right now, I don't like our linebacking core. I can tell you, I really don't like. I love Debo. That's one guy. I don't like the two guys that could be standing around him, you know, when we're talking about a base defense. I'm not impressed after Debo about what this team looks like at linebacker. Maybe one of those guys steps up. Maybe Ola Kuhn can make some plays. Maybe Buchanan, who started in the league before coming over from the XFL, maybe he can do some things. But, boy, I wish they'd go get them another competent outside linebacker to make me feel a little bit better about that position group. I have my doubts. I have my questions about how good that group can be out there. Cornerbacks, of course, adding A.J. Terrell, Josh Hawkins, Tyler Hall, losing Desmond Trufant. He says, better in the long term. Expect the Falcons to be in nickel close to 70% of the time, so that'd mean having Sheffield, Oliver, and Terrell on the field all at once. Sheffield, a speedster, an elite athlete who could evolve into number one corner, is most likely to work inside in those packages, and opponents have tried to put up their best receivers in the slot against the Falcons in the past. I don't know about that. I don't agree with Vaughn on that. I don't know that they are better in the long term. You have an unproven rookie. You have a guy in Isaiah Oliver that hasn't done a whole lot to get that much better. And Kendall Sheffield's a work in progress. I keep hearing this thing about Kendall Sheffield, number one corner. Man, he's got a lot of work ahead of him, folks, to be a number one corner in this league. A lot of work. You know, he's changed positions in college. There's a reason why he was drafted where he was drafted. There's a reason why he wasn't, you know, the number one corner at Ohio State either. In a school known to put out some of the best corners, you know, in college and in the NFL. So I don't necessarily agree with him on that. Safety, Jalen Hawkins, you know, the big addition, big losses, Kamal Ishmael, if you will. He says better, worse, or same? Better. And he says that might be the most interesting dilemma facing the Falcons. How do you keep Alan Neal and Kazee on the field at the same time? I think they probably are better only because if Keanu Neal is back healthy, and Ricardo Allen, you know, obviously this time a year ago, he was coming back from his ACL injury and all that, or season-ending injury, whatever it was. Yeah, I would like to think that they are better at safety from a health standpoint. That health gets them to being a better group for all of this. All right, when we get back, lots of good things going on with the Atlanta Braves, and obviously going to be one of the contenders. But what are the things that could hold the Braves back? We'll talk about that next. It is the John Chuckery Show. Brown Liquor Music Hour rolling right along. Sports Radio Nights on the Game and on your radio.com app.
Happy feelings in the air. Touching
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Brown Liquor Music Hour rolling right along on the John Chuckery Show. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. It's good stuff right here. Follow us on Twitter at 19 on the game, at JMCH316, at JarvisD90. Don't forget the radio.com app as well. Oh, Jeffrey Osborne. What are they? What was that group? LTD Jarvis? Is that what they were? LTD? Yeah, LTD, yeah. Watching Orlando and Miami here as MLS has gotten back on track. 1-1, by the way. I can't. 88th minute or something like that. 88th, 89th minute. My eyes are really getting bad. Like, I'm having trouble reading some of that stuff on TV. That small print just messes me all up. Jarvis and I were kind of joking about the fact that watching this, it does look weird without the fans. It feels like it's a high school scrimmage. You know, this feels like a soccer match on a Tuesday afternoon in high school, and another team comes in, and you just kind of have a match with nobody there. You know, not even the parents are there or anything. Just kind of got a weird kind of look and vibe to it. Now, the funny part is guys having masks on the bench and sidelines as they sweat and spit all over the field and everything. But, you know, that's all part of it, I guess, out there. So 1-1 still in this thing. Pretty good corner there by Miami. Almost put it in. But, yeah, it's at least it's MLS is back, and this is actual competition, and guys look like they're going at it. I mean, I haven't seen anybody really look like they're pulling up or any sort of thing like that. So, obviously, Atlanta United will take the field on Saturday night. All your action right here on Sports Radio 92.9 on the game with Jason Longshore and Mike Conney will have the call for all of that. Now, speaking of Atlanta sports and getting back into action, the Braves today with their first quote-unquote inter-squad scrimmage, if you will. You know, obviously life without Freddie Freeman right now as he's still battling the effects of COVID-19 diagnosed and then, of course, you know, developed symptoms and you know, has been sick and, you know, it's watching his wife, you know, putting out her information about, you know, how he's doing and this, that, and the other. So prayers and well wishes to Freddie Freeman. But, you know, we've talked a lot about even going into this short 60-game season. You know, the Braves are still one of the most talented teams in Major League Baseball. You take their top three in Acuña, Ozzie, and Freddie Freeman. That's as good as there is in Major League Baseball. You know, we've talked about their young starting pitching. You know, we've talked about the fact that they've won the division the last couple of years and on and on and on about all the accolades and things like that. That there's no reason to think that the Braves, even in this crazy shortened pandemic, this, that, and the other season, can't get it done, can't be a playoff team and maybe make a run this year to that World Series, getting back to championship level baseball for the Atlanta Braves. So it asks the question, we've talked about all the things good about the Atlanta Braves. What are some of the things that have to happen, or what are some things that could happen that would cause this thing to go sideways? Well, I think a couple things. I think number one is, you know, you have to make sure your stars are your stars. You know, you can't afford to have a Ronald Acuña Jr. in a season like this start off hitting 182 for the first 20-25 games, you know, of the year. You can't afford to have one of those star players, Freddie or Ronald, you know, or, you know, even, you know, if you want to put Ozuna into that mix as well. You need your stars to be stars. Now, over the course of a long Major League Baseball season, you know, star players, you know, even Mike Trout, Freddie Freeman, they go through their slumps and their lulls. You know, Freddie goes through those stretches where he continually strikes out, doesn't put the ball in play, batting average will drop down below 300, you know, and that'll last for a couple of weeks and then he'll be back. Well, unfortunately, in this environment, though, you can't afford to have any of those guys get into any sort of funk. Because number one, you know, 20 games is a third of a season. You know, as we're only going to play 37% of a full season to start with, 20 games of it becomes a third of a season. Now, the other part is you're going to play your guys every day. And we were talking about this with Gabe last night. I think you have to play your star players that first 20 games every day. Well, they need a break or this thing. Man, they've had a break for 2.5 months. They've had a break for a while. 20 games and you got a 23-year-old, 22-year-old, 21-year-old, 28-year-old. You got to play every day. Because you get to August and you're going to get some breaks, you know, in there. You're going to get some days off in there. But that first 20 games, you got to play. Well, when you play that, though, you got to be productive. Because you can't afford to sit Ronald Acuña Jr. for, say, a couple of games because he just needs to, you know, just get out of a funk or something like that. You got to play these guys. So you need your stars to be your stars. And if you get a guy that gets into any kind of extended slump that you're really counting on, it could be, you know, tough. Be tough for this team to bounce back from in all of that. The other part of it, too, is you've got a high-priced bullpen that we say has a lot of depth. Those guys have to perform, and you have to avoid that dreaded blown saves and underperformance by this bullpen. I mean, let's face it, the Braves have invested a lot of money with Green and Melanson and Will Smith. You know, those aren't guys working for fish heads and rice and duck soup. You know, those guys are getting paid well to be capable major league relievers. And they've all been, you know, closers. Hell, I guess they've all been all-star closers at one point as well. Will Smith was in the all-star game last year. Shane Green was in the all-star game last year. Melance has been an all-star before. So you got guys that are capable and high dollars. But you can't afford those guys because they're going to pitch so often to not get it done. You know, obviously, starters are not going to go real long at the beginning of the season. You're not going to get guys to eat up lots of innings and things like that. So you've got 20 consecutive games to start the season without a break. Your bullpen's going to get a lot of action in it. You can't afford to have a Luke Jackson coming in and costing your team two or three games over a five-game stretch. Because everything this year will get magnified. Everything this year is going to be highlighted and, you know, a lot more focus and attention put on it from a result standpoint. Because a few games here and there in only 60 games, you don't have a lot of time to make things up. And it's going to feel like that quick sprint, you know, it's going to be, you know, 1 week right after the other. And the Braves are just going to play nonstop, you know, every single day. Now, if somebody gets sick or hurt or something like that, that's different, you know, but still, you need your bullpen to come through for you in all of this. The other thing, too, is as to what could derail the Braves is if their two young guys don't continue their upward trajectory. They need to continue upward. You know, we've been looking for that elusive ace of the staff since, you know, Maddox and Glavine and Smoltz have gone away. Uh-oh, that was a big goal. Orlando takes the lead in all of that. That was a big goal late here. Wow. That may put it away for Orlando. You need your two young guys to step up. The two guys that won 30 games but weren't good enough to start game one of the playoffs. So I'm sorry. Was that my inner monologue coming out again? You need those guys to step up and be big factors because the truth of it is that when you get past those two guys, there aren't a lot of great answers at starter. For all the talk we have about prospects and this, that, and the other, none of those guys we know about. You know, Fulton Nevich is a question right now. You know, how does he bounce back from the way it ended last year? Is there any hangover carryover? You'd like to say no because it has been such a long break, but you never know mentally. That's the thing that we always question about Mike Fulton Nevich is mentally, will he get over it? Obviously, there's no Felix Hernandez. Tuki Toussaint's going to start in the minors. Do you have a Bryce Wilson? Is Sean Newcomb a starter? You know, there's a lot of questions. You know, Cole Hamels. Are you putting your faith and trust in Cole Hamels? I mean, I know Snitker will probably start him in game one, but are you putting your faith and trust in a guy who hasn't gotten it done the last couple of years? I don't know. I mean, I'm not. If I said, look, you're going to put your mortgage up. You got to bet either that Cole Hamels is going to come through and be a quality pitcher and I'll pay your mortgage for a year, or you're going to put your mortgage up and you're going to lose your house if he doesn't. Which one are you going to? A lot of questions about what he is, what he can do, what can happen, how healthy. I mean, it's not necessarily the best option, you know, when you have that many questions about a guy. You would think for $18 million you'd have a lot less questions, but as Roddy Piper famously said, just when you think you have the answers, I change the questions. So you need Fried and Soroka, who looks like an ace. Soroka looks every bit like a number one ace, and he pitched a lot like a number one guy last year. You know, leading the league in ERA plus, third overall in ERA in the National League last year. You need his trajectory and Max Fried, by the way. You need those two guys to continue to step up as starters and give this team a lot of quality outings, because there are so many question marks back behind them. There are so many doubts about what can Folty do, what can Cole Hamels do, what is Sean Newcomb? You know, who else is in the mix for that spot? Is it Bryce Wilson? Is it Ian Anderson? I don't know. I mean, some of that stuff's going to have to shake itself out. And look, we understand that starters are not going to go real long in the early part of the year. We get that. But, you know, you got to get those guys going. You got to get those guys on track. You really can't afford to have, again, Soroka kind of struggle and have to find his way through and work his way into it. Because by the time you figure that out, you're six games out and there's, you know, nine to play. You know, things can change in a heartbeat. So, you know, we keep harping on this sprint aspect, but it is 37% of a season. You know, hell, Atlanta United and everybody else is going to play full season. They may not play as much international and things like that. When you talk about in your league, you're going to play full seasons. It's not going to happen for the Atlanta Braves. They don't get to play a full season. They get a third of that, which, you know, after a third, you're kind of really starting to figure out what you are and who you are as a team. Not this year. You got to have it figured out long before that. You better have it figured that out by about five or eight games into the season, what you are. All right, when we get back, does PT have a little Vila or Yosef in him? We'll talk about that next. It is the John Chuckman Show, Sports Radio 910 The Game, and on your radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with you here on the John Chuckery Show. Brown Liquor Music Hour. Rolling right along. 404-741-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of our show. Orlando does get the win over Miami. Of course, this right Miami's expansion year coming into the league. Like I said, a very interesting look to the match tonight. I didn't watch the whole thing because I was watching wrestling, to be honest with you. I don't care that much about Orlando and Miami, I'll fully admit. But I am excited for Atlanta United to get back into action and get their season going. But they're showing the pre-match highlights of everything, all the stuff that they were doing, all the ceremonies and all that kind of stuff. So, all right. I mean, listen, it is what it is. I do like how everybody's got masks on and everything like that. Then they go out and sweat and spit and do other things on the sidelines from there. So, anyway, don't forget social media at 910 on the game. I'm at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Download the radio.com app. So, speaking of Atlanta United, You know, obviously very little chance to get these guys going into any kind of rhythm to start the season. There's lots of new faces, lots of changes to this team, you know. And obviously when the pandemic hit, we were just getting started into, you know, the very beginning of the CONCACAF tournament, which will not happen now. So, you know, this new tournament format that's happening down in Orlando over these next, you know, few weeks. And, of course, you know, the big story for Atlanta United is the fact that they lost Yosef Martinez for the season. So now the question begs about where does that offense come from, you know? Certainly P.T. Martinez is a guy that, you know, I've talked with Longshore about, we've talked a lot about here in the preseason and leading into this, that, you know, is this his time? You know, if you look at the transition into MLS and think about the things that he went through last year, and I don't think it's appreciated. You know, this is not a 30-year-old man, by the way, that's coming into MLS. You know, this is a guy that's a youngster. I don't think he's, you know what, I don't think he's even old enough to drink and legally get into a bar, right? Talking about a guy that's very young in age, talking about coming to a new country, a totally new country with, you know, English-speaking language, the culture of just getting adjusted to America and the lifestyle, things like traffic and all these little nuances. And, you know, we saw P.T. Martinez at times, you know, especially as the season went along, play much better as the season continued forward, but certainly had his struggles and, you know, maybe some of his issues with Frank DeBoer, you know, initially in all of this. You know, last year, a total of 7 goals for P.T. Martinez. When you look at a couple other guys, look at Yosef Martinez and Carlos Vela. Last year, Vela, of course, the MVP of MLS, going from his first year in MLS in 2018, where he scored 15 goals, to a whopping 38 goals. Now, we know about Yosef Martinez and the huge upside that he had, you know, in his goal production in that second year. Now, I'm not saying that P.T. Martinez is going from 7 goals to 38 goals, 40 goals, whatever crazy kind of number that those two guys put up. But could P.T. Martinez be a guy that went from 7 to, let's say, 20 goals in a season like this? You know, a season where they'll play a lot of their, you know, they'll play obviously all of their MLS action. You know, they're, you know, the only things that will be shortened will obviously be the, you know, foreign tournaments and things like that. There won't be any CONCACAF. There won't be a Campeones Cup, you know, as well. But if this team is going to get where we think and want and hope and need it to get, they've got to find an offensive, you know, kind of force. You know, this has been a franchise built on star power. You know, yes, they play good defense. Yes, they, you know, obviously have good goaltending. And Guzan's a star, by the way, you know, within MLS. He's one of the best goaltenders, you know, that there is, no question, you know, about it. But this has been a team built around its star power. It's Miguel and it's Yosef, you know, and then, you know, obviously they signed Barco and PT to continue that trend of, you know, bringing in stars, you know, for however long they're going to be. I mean, it doesn't really matter how long they're going to be here in the fold, but they've built around star power and continue to build around that. Well, this is where the PT Martinez of the world have to pay off. You know, we know about all the accolades, the, you know, Argentinian Player of the Year and South American Player of the Year. We know and get and understand, you know, all of that. But now this is where it needs to come to fruition. If this team is going to compete and get in the playoffs and compete for, you know, any potential MLS Cup, heck, even trying to get out of this tournament bracket, you know, with the Red Bulls and with FC Cincinnati and with the Columbus Crew, which is going to be a tough bracket, you know, to get out of. But just they need that offensive force to come back and find a way to you know, give them somebody consistently on offense. You know, will they be a good defensive team? Will they play good goaltending? Yeah, of course. We know and expect that. But this is not a team that's always been built and designed to be a 1-0 type of team. That's not the MO, you know, and that's what frustrated fans so much is, you know, it felt like that they were trying to be an organization at times that felt like they weren't pushing the issue enough. They weren't going at it enough. There wasn't enough, you know, sense of urgency at times, you know, with their offense. We've gotten so accustomed and used to the idea of Yosef and Miguel and pushing the ball up the field and making big plays and things like that, that, you know, maybe we got spoiled, you know, by all of it, you know. And this team at times, you see that they still have some of that, you know, flair. And listen, there were guys last year that you know, called out Frank DeBoer for, you know, the way that you know, the system was run and things like that. So they need that guy to step in. They need that guy to be that star. I think that needs to be PT Martinez. And he certainly has all the capabilities, and he certainly has all the tangibles that you would like. And you hope that, much like Carlos Vela, much like Yosef Martinez, that goal scoring can take that leap. Like I said, I'm not expecting him to go from 7 goals to 38 goals or 40 goals. You know, one is they're probably not going to play a long enough season, you know, for that. Two is, you know, those are incredible numbers. And don't forget, you know, Vela and Yosef, you know, those guys were, you know, 14, 15, 17. I forget what Yosef's first number, what his number was in year number one. But those guys were double-digit goal guys in their first year. And PT had 7 goals. I mean, it's nothing to sneeze at. And obviously playing second fiddle offensively to what Yosef Martinez is, you know, out there. But now he doesn't have that. Now this is a chance for him to grab a hold of this team offensively and to lead this team offensively and be that guy. Be that guy that can fill the role of Yosef. Is anybody going to fill his shoes? No, of course not. You know, 40-goal scorers don't just grow on trees. But he should be a guy that can, you know, he needs to be that guy that this team can count on. You know, he needs to be that guy. You know, that's the great thing about Yosef. You know, when in danger, break glass, that was Yosef. Yosef was that guy that when you needed something, you could break the glass, you could turn to him, and he could always deliver for you. You know, you want to have that guy that you feel like that when it gets to be crunch time, do we have a guy that we can turn to and say, okay, go get something done? Well, you know, you see that in PT Martinez. And like I said, we know that he's got the talent. We know that he's a guy, Argentinian Player of the Year, South American Player of the Year. We know all the talent is there. And hopefully now, having spent a year in America and getting his feet wet and getting adjusted to the lifestyle and getting, you know, acclimated to everything about this country, and not just, you know, again, like we said, not just playing for Frank DeBoer, not just playing in MLS, you know, learning his way around the day-to-day life and activities and things like that, you know. It's all of those things. Hopefully all of that now has come, you know, behind him, and now this can be a focus on everything about on-field play, on-field scoring, taking it to some of these teams and taking his game to a next level. So should be exciting. You know, we talked about the fact that it's going to be good to see, you know, an actual team that we root for playing coming up this weekend on Saturday night. Of course, we'll have all your action right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as we are your home of all things Atlanta United. And, of course, you know, the broadcast, we'll have Jason Longshore and Mike Connie. They'll be on the call for the rest of the way for you. Is it selfish that nobody's more excited about maybe some weeknight games than old Chuckery? Anyway, did I say that out loud? Was that my inner monologue that was coming out through all of that? But anyway, good stuff. Very excited to get Atlanta United back. Going to be excited to get the Braves back. You know, be excited when training camp starts for the Atlanta Falcons. And look, there's going to be some hiccups, folks. It's not going to be all smooth sailing. There's going to be some hiccups and some things going on. Take it in stride. You know, it's not going to run 100% perfect. Not everybody's going to be COVID-free. Not everybody's going to be perfect, and it's going to be some bumps and hiccups. It's more about how you respond and how everything gets handled and how quickly everybody stays on top of it to avoid, you know, mass spread and things like that. So don't forget, Saturday night, MLS action, New York Red Bulls, Atlanta United, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, when we get back, it will be time for the Love TKO. Wrapping things up, don't forget JR Sports Brief. It will be coming up next. Closed up shop. Sports Radio 910 The Game on the John Chuckery Show and on the radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.